together. Perek Vav, we're holding in the middle of the Perek. Just a few points that have to do with what we spoke about last week. The first point is Rabbi Hochstadt raised an issue that we say Birkas HaChama not on the day that's the actual date of the astronomical vernal equinox. So if you look at the Wikipedia article...
What does that mean? Use some words which I have no idea what they mean.
The equinox is the day that the night and the is the one of 2 days during the entire year that the day and the night is exactly equal.
Right? 12 hours?
Which would... Berech 12. Basically, exactly Berech 12 hours. But yeah. But What's it called? So that's the date of the equinox. Right? But we don't say Birkas HaChama on the day of the equinox. So how could it be that the day of the equinox is supposed to be Tkufas Nisan, but we say Birkas HaChama a few days later? I think the equinox is March 20th or 21st.
Depends
on the year. And we said Birkas HaChama, I believe it was on like April 8th or something. Right? So it's like 2 weeks later or so. Mm-hmm. So how does that work out? So if you look in the Wikipedia article about Birkas HaChama, it explains the answer to this question. And basically the answer is that there's two different ways to calculate the tkufas. There's what we call tkufa of Shmuel and the tkufa of Ada. Those are two Amoraim in the Gemara. So Shmuel's way of calculating the tkufa is more rounded. It's a rounder number, and it's not as accurate, and every 100 years or so it gets less and less accurate as time goes by. And we paskin like Shmuel's way of calculating the tkufa in regard to halachas that we do in the open. So that's why we do Birkas HaChama on what's technically the wrong day. On the other hand, there's something called tkufa of Rav Ada, and Rav Ada's tkufa is more precise, and we use Rav Ada's tkufa for other halachas, like calculating the calendar, which isn't necessarily something that every person does. It's something more that's up to base or whatever. So since it's not out in the open, we do the more precise calculation because it's more complex, as opposed to Shmuel's, which is rounded. It's more of an estimate. It's simpler for the masses to understand. So we go with that for halachas that we do in the open. That's the first thing I wanted to mention. The second thing is last week we spoke about the sun and the moon being the Ma'or HaGadol and the Ma'or HaKatan. Right, the big light, the big luminary, and the little luminary. So there was one thing I marked down in my notes to say over, and I didn't say it over. I just felt that it's a very interesting point that I wanted to speak it out. Sefer Shi'orim Mitzuyonim B'Halacha. It's a person who lived in the last 100 years or so. He actually lived in America after the war. A Hungarian Yid, he wrote a sefer called Shi'orim Mitzuyonim B'Halacha on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote a set on Shas. So on Chulin Daf Samech Chavad Beis, he speaks about why Ma'or HaGadol and Ma'or HaKatan refers to the sun and the moon. And he compares this, not because the sun is bigger than the moon, because the way we said it, like, let's say, you know, to our perceived eyes, which this is going to get into our next point, but to our perception, the sun and the moon don't look so dissimilar. They look like they're more or less the same size, right? Even though the sun is bigger than the moon. But so why is it called the Gadol Katan? So he compares this to Gemara and Bava Metzia and Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says in Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Bava Metzia that the Metzia's B'noi U'V'noi HaKatan HaKtanim Shaloi. If your son or your daughter who are Ketanim find something that they're allowed to keep, so you automatically own it. You automatically claim it. It doesn't go to your children. You automatically get to own it. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, b'noi u'bitoi ha-ktanim? So the Gemara says, ktanim is lav ktanim mamish, gdolim is lav gdolim mamish. Doesn't literally mean big and small, meaning mature or immature, whether they're bar mitzvah or not bar mitzvah. That's not what it means. That's not what the Mishnah means. Rather, Gemara says what the Mishnah means is that if you have a child and your child is Saimech al Shulchan Aviv, he relies on the table of his father for his income, right? He's not financially independent. So such a person is called a katan. And then if he finds something that he's allowed to keep, it goes to his father. But someone who's old enough that he's financially independent, whether he's below bar mitzvah, above bar mitzvah, that doesn't matter, right? So then he's called a gadol, and whatever he finds, he's allowed to keep. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara defines gadol and katan not as big and small, or mature and immature, but the Gemara in that context defines Gadol and Katan as someone who's independent or has to rely on others. So based on that, the Shi'ar Mitzvah and Balacha says, that's why the sun is called the Ma'ar Gadol and the moon is called Ma'ar Katan, because the sun has its own light. So it's called Ma'ar Gadol, because it's Gadol, it's independent of something else. The moon, it doesn't have its own light. It only has a reflection from the light of the sun. So therefore it's called Ma'or HaKatan, because it's a katan. It's Saimech Al Shulchan Aviv, so to speak. It's financially dependent, not financially dependent, but here its light is dependent on the light of the sun. So Gadol and Katan. The third thing I wanted to say is we mentioned this in the introduction yesterday, and this is going to come up more, not yesterday, I mean the last time we learned, and it's going to come up more tonight as well. We said that the Ramchal points out that all these different things that we talk about, whether or not it actually is congruent with the scientific reality or the reality as we perceive it to our eye, that's something, it's sometimes debatable. But the point is that these ideas represent some sort of deeper Kabbalistic system of how Hashem runs the world or whatever. That's what the Ramchal says. Basically, I found that the Maral Meprag also says the same idea, especially in the context of what we're going to learn about tonight, which is paralleled by Gemara and Bava Basra. And the Maral says it over there, that even if it doesn't necessarily, if it's not necessarily fit with what we understand from science and from what we perceive, the Chazal are telling us a Kabbalistic reality, not necessarily a physical reality. That's the introduction. Okay, so let's start. We're up to Uvishleish Me'ayis V'shishim. You have it? Uvishleish Me'ayis V'shishim. Uvishleish Me'ayis V'shishim Ma'ilis. Hachama Oile V'yaredes. There's 366 milos that the sun goes up and down. We'll see exactly in a moment what that means. 183 in the east, and 183 goes down in the west. So 183 going up in the east, 183 going down in the west. Corresponding to the days of the solar year. Right? 183 plus 183 is 366, which is one more than 365. Right? We said there's 365 days in the year. So this is 366 milos. What do we mean by milos? It's not so clear over here. The Radal brings from the Mekubalim, from the Rekeach in Sayyidi Razi and Sefer Akana, that they say that milos has to do with chaloinus, which we're going to see in the next few lines. We're going to speak about chaloinus. So this is really just the same thing as the next thing that we're going to speak about. That's what the Radal explains. But one more point is that... Okay, so what's this idea of the milos? Yeah. So the idea of the milos is like this. We know that the sun rises on the east side every day, right? The sun always rises on the east. In fact, the word Mizrach, which means east, is derived from the word Zarach, shining, because the east side is where the sun first shines forth in the day. Mizrach is Lashon Zricha, shining. Now, where exactly on the east side does the sun rise from? So that depends on the time of the year. Right. I made a nice chart over here. I didn't actually end up making a computerized version of this chart, but we're going to work with this chart over here. Basically, what happens is that the sun will... There's mamish the middle. This is let's say this is the east side. Yeah, everyone see it? This is the east side. On your left is the north. On your right is the south. Right. Sometimes, when you face eastwards, the sun will rise closer to the north, and sometimes it will rise closer to the south, and sometimes it will rise amish in the middle. What determines that? What time of the year it is. Right? So the Medrash over here is going to speak a little bit about that at length. Basically, this is half from, let's say, the middle towards the north. That half is half of a year, and from the middle towards the south is the other half, is another half of the year, right? So the north half, let's call it, is what's called Tkufas Nisan and Tkufas Tammuz, right? Spring and summer. The south half of the year is Tkufas Tishrei and Tkufas Teves, which is autumn and the winter. Okay. Chazal tell us, let's go weiter. Chazal tell us, uvishleish mi'ois v'shishim v'shisha chaloinais, hachama yetzev nichnas b'mizrach. There's 363 windows that the sun comes out with and goes into on the east side. 366 windows. Chazal tell us that when the sun comes up in the morning, the sun every day will go to a different window. And there's multiple windows that kill. I mean, this is not a physical thing, obviously, but there's multiple windows lined up next to each other, going across this whole line, right? And what you have is Tishim ve'echad bekeren dreimis, Tishim ve'echad bekeren tzfainis. There's 91 keren on let's say the south side, and 91 on the north side. V'cholayin echad be'emtza u'shmai cholayin noiga. And there's one window in the middle, which is called Chaloy Noiga. These different, some of the windows that we're going to have names, but most of them don't have names. One of those windows is called Noiga.
Venus.
So, some of the names, more specifically Noiga and Shabsai, are going to be names that we also recognize from the names of the planets. I don't know if these names of the windows have to do with the names of the planets. I haven't seen anyone make that connection. But Chazal tells us that the sun will come out every day through shining through a different window. Right? We say this in davening. We said it this morning. Hopefully we said it this morning. We say, Hakel ha-Pesach b'chol yoyim dalseis sharei mizrach. The God who opens every day dalseis sharei mizrach, the door of the gates of the east, u'boikeya chaleine rakia. And he breaks the windows of the heavens. He takes the sun from its place. He brings out the sun from its place, etc. And this is what we say on Shabbos by the tefillah of Yetzer. Fine. So that's the windows. And the manish over here is going to speak by Richos about these windows thing. The Tkuvas Tishrei. Oh, there's another thing I found it interesting. I didn't really have a chance to write down Chaval. I didn't write down the Mar Mekaymus about it, but we said that Hashem is Pesach Dalsois Hakel Pesach B'chol Yoyim Dalsois Sharei Mizrach. The doors of the gates of the east. We say that's one hand, and on the other hand we say Ubakir Cholenu Rakia, and he breaks open the windows of the heavens. So what are Dalsois Sharei Mizrach as opposed to Chaloinei Rakia? What's the door? There's like a door, and then there's also a window. So I looked in the Mefarshim. I didn't write this down, so I don't remember exactly who says what, but in different Talmidim of the Rekach and different Talmidim of the Rekach, they say it differently, that there's a door, and also there's also a window. Exactly, you have to know what this means in a Kabbalistic level, whatever, but there's a door and a window, and somehow there's that divides, the sun from us. And some of the Farshim say the door is closer to us and the window is closer to where the sun is otherwise. And some say, no, the door is closer to where the sun is and the window is closer to us. Like, which one does it go through first to come out? Okay, whatever. There's a door and a window. That's the point. Which one is which is a shtiglo shaylo. Okay, what does the Medrash say? But, right, so again, we said that there's 91 windows from the on the north side on the north half of this line, and there's 91 windows on the south half of this line. That again, we're going on the east side because we're talking about the sun coming out. B'tkubes Tishrei maschil michaloin noiga v'hedech v'seiviv the keren dremis chaloin achar chaloin ad shemagiel chaloin shabsai. From the beginning of Tkufas Tishrei, which is the beginning of autumn. Right? So the sun starts coming up from Chaloin Noiga, which we said is one of these middle windows, and it goes it goes southwards. Each day it's going to go more and more south until it gets to Chaloy Shabsai, a window called Shabsai, which is the southernmost window on the east horizon. Right? So
wait, this is the south?
This is the south and this is the north.
This is the south and this is the north?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're facing, when you face eastwards, so north is on your left.
I'm most used to thinking of it as this way, where the south being over here.
Yeah, in Hanami. That's, you have to know, when did map makers change from making north, from making east on top to making north on top? That's something that you have to do research and try to figure out when it happened. Because it used to be that maps had east on top. And now we all look at it as north on top. Okay, whatever. But the point is, so as Tkufas Tishrei happens from the beginning of the fall, right, and you go deeper into the winter, so the sun is going to be rising every day closer to the south. Until it reaches the southernmost window, which is called Shabsai. And the Radal points out that in the Saidi Razi and in the Sefer Kana, the name of that southernmost window is actually Bilga. Its name is Bilga, not Shabsai, but it's called Bilga. And the Radal points out also that Bilga is the name of one of the 24 Mishmarais Kohuna, one of the 24 groups of Kohanic families that did the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in the end of Maseches Sukkah says that the Mishmar of Bilga, the rabbis decided to punish them, and they had each Mishmar in the Beis HaMikdash had their own service window. Chazal decided to punish the Mishmar of Bilga, and they closed the window of Bilga. So you have like that language of the window of Bilga over there in the Gemara, and then you have it over here as well, the window of Bilga. What did they do exactly? You might be familiar. There was a lady from the family of Bilga who ended up marrying a guy, a Yevani, a Greek guy. And then afterwards, when the Hashbonaim got rid of the Greeks, you know, it's like that, they cleaned it up. But that was like and she made some comments against the Beis HaMikdash and whatever, against the Hashem.
What did they do to her?
What? No, so would they? So because of that, the whole family of Bilga was punished. And then the Gemara says maybe the other reason why they punished Bilga is because one time they were supposed to work in the Beis HaMikdash and they came late, so they got punished. This is the last few lines of Maseches Sukkah. Okay, so that's Tkuvas Tishrei. But Tkuvas Teves, in the winter, Maschil Mechalein Shabsai, V'haylech V'sevev V'chezel Acharev Chalein Achar Chalein, Ad Shemagiel Chalein Taluma. So this was Tishrei. Chaloin, Tkufas Teves starts from the southernmost possible sunrise, and goes, the sun is going to come, start rising closer and closer to the north through the winter, until it gets to the one of the middle windows, which is called Taluma. Shabai Ha'ar Yaitze. From there the light comes out. Shinema V'saluma Yaitze Ar. And Taluma is going to give out or. The word Taluma is the Lashon of like Halama, something hidden. Something that, it means like something hidden. Yeah. So now we're back to the middle. Right? Now once we hit the middle, Tkufas Nisan is going to start from, so Tkufas Nisan is going to start from Taluma, Maschel Michalin Taluma, Shabai Ha'ar Yaitse, V'haylech Al-Keren Tzfoynis, Chaloin Achal Chaloin, Anshu Magia L'Chaloin Naaman. From Tkuvas Tishrei, Tkuvas Nisan, which is what we called before the equinox, the day that's going to be, day and night are going to be equal. So from that day, throughout the spring, every day the sun is going to be rising closer and closer to the north, until it gets to the northernmost point of sunrise, which is called Chaloin Naaman. Right? Naaman is the name of a character in Tanakh who was the general of the of Aram. He ended up recognizing Hashem through miracles of Elisha, etc. I don't know if this Naaman, the Chaloin Naaman, has anything to do with that guy Naaman. It could be just a name. I don't know exactly. I haven't seen anyone who speaks about it again. But Kuvas, okay, so now we're at the northernmost point, right? And now we're at the end of the spring, so it's the beginning of the summer. But Kuvas Tammuz, right, the summer solstice, the beginning of the summer Tkufa, Maschil Machalein Naaman, it begins from Chaloy Naman, the northernmost window. V'hoylech v'sevev v'chazel acharyov Chaloy nachar Chaloy ad shemagiel Chaloy cheder. And it goes, and the sun will rise consecutively closer and closer to the south until it gets to Chaloy cheder, which is again in the middle. Right, because now we're getting back to Tkufas Tishrei, right? At the end of after Tammuz is Tishrei. Shabai ruach sufa yaitze, because from there a strong wind comes out. Shneamer, it says the pasuk min hacheder tova sufa memizorim kara, from the cheder, which we're homiletically interpreting as the chaloin that's known as cheder. So sufa comes out, and sufa is a strong wind. Memizorim kara, and from something called zar mizorim. Cold comes out. We'll have to see exactly what that means in a few moments, but that's the Seder of where exactly on the north-south axis is the sun going to be rising from the east. Yeah, what were you going to say?
The four different names for these windows, and yet at two times a year, the equinoxes, Hori could say it's the same window.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
And yeah, so
the reason why
so Cheder if you're following, so the middle window, or the middle windows, there's three names for middle windows. There's Noiga, Taluma, and Cheder.
Why is that? Where is Noiga?
Noiga was the first one.
Was Tevez, Matriyum, and Chanon Shabsai? No.
The Tkufas Tishrei Maschil Mechalim Noiga. The first one.
Shmo Chalom Noga.
So,
but there can only be four.
What?
There can only be four. However, there are five.
No, because there's two on the sides.
Yeah.
And then there's three in the middle.
Yeah, why?
But L'chora, some of these three in the middle, L'chora are actually all the same, are all the same one, just different names.
Okay.
Like something like that. I don't know exactly how it works. See, the truth is that the sun is gonna get to the same place twice a year.
Yes.
Right. It's gonna it's on its way there.
Yeah.
And then on its way back.
But they're different.
Slight differences.
They're different names.
Right. There's different names.
Different qualities. Let's say.
Yeah. Let's say it like that.
That's why they're different names.
Because here it gets here on its way that to the south, and then here it's getting there on the way to the north.
Colder.
Right.
And then on the way to the north. It's just going to keep getting hotter.
Right. Be'elu sheba mizrach haya yoytzei. So, again, so we have these, there's, let's say, 91 and 91. There's 91 and 91, which is 182. 182 windows. 182 windows that the sun will come out from. And I guess they'll hit each one twice a year. And corresponding to those 182 windows that the sun comes out from, there's 182 windows on the west side that the sun will go into when it sets. It says, Medrash, v'hashchina lo'ilam b'mayrav. And the Shechina is always on the west. What does that mean, the Shechina is always on the west? So it's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra in the second parak, which happens to be, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Yosef Moldaver Shlita, in the name of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, the second parak of Bava Basra, Lo Yachbar, is the hardest parak in Shas. But he wasn't talking about this Gemara, I don't think. But that the Gemara over there says that the Shechina is always in the west.
And Bracha says it's always in the east, or east-west.
So
we find many examples of this.
We find there are examples of it.
The Shechina's
right? Yeah, the Shechina is always in the west. It's
kind of bracha east and west, and that's why Tosfos says you should have relations east west. You should have it. It's a form.
Yeah, there's a Gemara that says that. But the point, but really, what we hold is that the Shechina is everywhere. So the Gemara was saying over there that you should daven towards the west. The Rambam and Mar Nevuchim talks about this also, and the Meiri over there in Bava Basra also says this. The context is really talk about which way should you face when you daven, and it's saying you should daven to the west. And the Gemara and the Rambam sort of is masbid a little bit more. It says that Avraham Avinu was the first one to daven to the west, because all the Goyim in his time, they worshipped the sun, and the sun rises in the east. So they would worship facing towards the east. So Avraham Avinu dafka face the west to show that no, the sun isn't really God. Really, Hashem is God. Then that's why I'm davening Tafka the other way, right? But we hold that that doesn't really mean that the Shekhinah is really in the west as opposed to anywhere else. So because of that, we paskin, what way do you face when you daven? There's another Gemara in Brachos that says that you should face towards the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how we paskin. But there is an opinion that says you should always daven towards the west. Okay. That's a Gemara in Bava Basra. That is an interesting point. Right, so then the sun sets. So then the sun is setting at the end of the day, right? Where does the sun go when it sets? So the Medrash says, V'nichnas u'mishtachav lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun, as it's setting in the west, it goes and it bows in front of Hashem. V'oimer lefanov, and the sun says in front of Hashem, Ribon kol ha'olamim asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. Master of the universes, I have done all that you have commanded me. Right, the sun goes and bows to Hashem and says, like, you know, I did what you want me to do, right? The Marzu, which again we said that the Marzu on this prakim are really written by the father of the Maril Tiskin. So the Marzu points out that according to our view of the world, we say Vayera Vayibaker, right? Night comes before day. So at the end of the day is a completion of a 24-hour what we call day. Right? So then, at the end of that 24-hour period, when the day is ending, daylight is ending, right? So then the sun goes and says to Hashem, oh, I did my job for these 24 hours. I did, you know, we worked it out. And then the next day is a new story. Right? That's how he explains it. That like it's the end of a 24-hour period because the day is ending, because the day comes after the night. The Radal points out a very interesting idea. What's the lashon? What does the sun say when to Hashem? It says in front of Hashem, "Asisi kachol asher tzivisani." I did everything that you commanded me. Now those words, "Asisi kachol asher tzivisani," are it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy when it's talking about vidoy meisers, right? The third year of the meiser cycle of the 7-year shemitah cycle, you're supposed. Maybe in the third year and also in the sixth year, I think. Yeah? I don't remember. There's something called Vidai Maestris, where you go in front of the Kohen and you admit the fact that you gave your Maestris and you properly observed the agricultural laws. Right? So one of the expressions that you say in front of the Kohen in the Parsha of Vidai Maestris, the Pasuk says you're supposed to say, Asisi kachal asher tzivisani. I did all that you have commanded me. Right? And Rashi says over there, and Rashi is really quoting a Mishnah, Mesachas Meister Sheni in Perek Hey, that what does it mean, Asisi kachol asher tzivisani? Rashi says, Somachti v'simachti b'yacherim. I used the Meister Sheni, I ate Meister Sheni properly, and I used it to make myself happy, and I used it to make other people happy as well. Right? So this expression of Asisi kachol asher tzivisani is an expression of doing something, doing it with happiness, and doing it out of happiness. So the Radal says that the sun, at the end of the day, when it goes and is mishtachva in front of Hashem and it says that it declares that it did everything that Hashem commanded it to do, is relaying its simcha in doing the rotzen of Hashem.
So the sun is a happy.
So that, it's a happy sun.
Happy
chappy. Happy chappy.
That's why a smiling face is like a sun.
Smiling face. Maybe. And the Radal.
Japanese are happy.
Yeah. The Radal.
They're depressed, actually, Japanese.
Japanese?
You said happy chappy.
Happy Jappy.
Oh, you didn't mean
Jappy. My
Jap,
father used to say Happy Chappy.
I don't said know, during World War II, they called the Japanese the Japs.
No, this is Chappy with the CH.
Oh, Chappy, CH, like Charlie Chaplin.
Like,
ah, Charlie Chaplin. They said the Hitler looked like Chaplin, no? That's what they said.
How was the style back then, no? So the Radal finds a remnant.
He was a big fan.
The Radal finds... Who, your father?
Hitler.
Oh.
He was a very big fan of Charlie.
You see, when he spoke, he looked exactly like him. He had very theatrical...
Theatrical.
Yeah. In the pictures, it looks very good. Like it goes like this, like that.
So the Radal finds a remnant to this in what we say in davening. On Shabbos, we say, "Smechem b'tzeisam v'sosim b'vayim," about the sun and the moon. Smechem b'tzeisam, they're happy when they come out. V'sosim b'vayim, and they're happy when they're going in. And by the Birkas Levana, which we
like, I heard you saying this morning, Bikol Ram. Oh, that one's in a very nice voice.
And this, we weren't zeicha to say this tonight, but Beretz Hashem, if the
why not?
You didn't see it, you saw the moon tonight.
Before Arvit. Afterwards, nobody was like, nobody was doing it, so I just sort of didn't do it.
Really? We didn't see it.
We didn't see the moon, I know.
Okay, maybe there's lots of clouds, but before Arvit, when I was walking there, there I was.
So Kiddush Levana, Meretz, maybe after the shir, we'll go out and see if there's a moon. Mm-hmm. So the Lashon we say...
You saw the moon. Wow.
The Lashon we say in Birkas Levana is, Sasi Musmechim La'aser Sotzeim Koinom. Right, they're happy to do what Hashem wants. And we'll see also at the end of the paragraph that the son is like a chosen yosis kigibor. He's happy like a warrior. Right, so there's an Indian that the son and moon are happy to do what Hashem wants them to do in the keeping up to the solar marachas and the lunar marachas of the world. Fine, let's go further. Okay. So we said there's 91 windows, let's say, on the east side. There's 91 windows to the left, 91 windows to the right. Okay, and then there's again 91 and 91 on the west side when the sun goes down. So what's 91 times 3? 364.
No, 91 and 91 is 300 and
364.
Okay.
91 plus 10.
What?
No. 91. Oh, 4. Yeah, 4. 91 times 4. Sorry, 91 times 4 is 364. Right? That's a little bit problematic because we said that there's 366 windows. Right?
So wasn't Noga special?
I don't know.
We said 66, and that's too many. And then we said 63.
It's too many, right?
And then we said 63 for something else, didn't we?
So one second. So we're saying that there's 182 on the east side and 182 on the west side. When we opened the story of the Medrash, we said there's 183 on the east and 183 on the west.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's a shtickel stira. But the answer is that even though we're saying 91 and 91, it's not completely accurate, because the truth is that after the how we said last week, what is the exact amount of what's the exact astronomical time of the four seasons? So we said last week that the four seasons are 91 days and 7.5 hours. Yeah. So really, each season is more than 91 days. It's 91 days and 7.5 hours. Right? Now, after a whole year, you're going to get an extra day. Those 7.5 hours are going to add up to an extra day. Because 7 times 4 is?
28.
28. So that's more than 24 hours. So you're going to be more than a whole day. Right? So the truth is, and I think I understand this a little bit better now. We said last week that sometimes you'll have a season which is actually 92 days. So that's how you have to understand it. That somewhere in this whole system that we described before of 91 and 91 of each season being 91, one of them is going to be 92. So we have to add it, so that adds another window, right? So we said there's 364 plus 1, now you have 365, right? But we said that there's an even amount on the east and an even amount on the west. Yeah, I mean, there's an even amount on not in the east and west, on the north and south spectrum. On the north and south axis. So how does that work? So the truth is like this. The Radal brings a medrash, Gemara Yerushalmi, Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, as well as the medrash Shmais Rabba and Parshas Boi, where the medrash says and the Yerushalmi say that it's 182 and 182. 182 east and 182 west, which comes to a total of 364. So they understood that we're going to ignore the half parts of the day. We're going to just go with the fact that every season is not exactly 91 days. Even though it's not exactly 91 days, it's more than 91 days, because it's 91 days and 7.5 hours. But like the those two sources are sort of forgetting about that. But we're not forgetting about that. So we're going to add an extra day to compensate for the partial days of each season. The partial hours of each season, which at the end of the year is going to be a whole day.
You think the time always comes back?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I never thought of that. I mean, the winter, the days are shorter, and the nights are longer, and the summer, it's the reverse. It always,
right.
So Hashem always pays back in the day of the night.
Sort of. But now we're up to 365, but it still doesn't explain the marriage, because we said 183 and 183, that's 366.
So what are you doing in Ibir?
So one second. Ibir has no shaykhs, because Ibir has to do with the lunar calendar. We're not talking about the lunar calendar, we're only talking about the solar year. Yeah. So what do you do with...
Still a question, isn't it?
From January to January.
He said a leap year is an extra day, and the calendar.
No, Hanami.
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, that's what you meant.
That's what you meant.
Because we were talking about...
You're trying to be Mlamad Chus in my question.
The leap year that they add in the secular calendar, the extra day, that's the extra day we were just talking about right now.
Okay, fine.
That they add it once every 4 years. Yeah.
As a part of.
Fine. The what's the... So, Andrew says 183 and 183, which comes to a total of 366. Right? So, we explained it. We have 91 times 4 is 364, right? Plus the extra day, because it's not really 91, it's 91 with a few hours. So you get to 365. Now we're going to have to add one more, because we're still trying to get to 366. So what's that one more window that we haven't discussed yet? It says the Medrash, V'chaloin echad yesh be'emtza harakia u'shmai mizarim. There's one window in the exact middle of the sky, and that one window is called Mizarim. That's its name. And that window is only used, it's mamash, a special window. It's only used once every 28 years when the sun is going to come out on a Wednesday at the beginning of the day, which we spoke about last week, how that's only once every 28 years. That's when we say Birkas Lachama, right? So when that happens, that the sun is coming out on a Wednesday in the beginning of the day, that Tkufas Nisan is coming out on a Wednesday at the beginning of the day, which is once every 28 years, it goes through a special window, not through the regular middle window, but a special window, and that window is called Mizarim.
I have a good question.
I don't know.
Well, I just realized, we're saying that this is an anniversary of the creation of the sun.
Yeah.
When it first came out.
Yeah.
But we hold like Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes.
Tammuz.
No.
Not Nisan.
No, we hold like Rabbi Eliezer.
Tammuz is the creation of the world. And was in, not Tammuz, was in Tishrei.
No, we hold like Rabbi, we hold like Rabbi Shua. The Benisa Nivra Ha'ilam.
Name.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Ramban, the book that I'm reading, the Ramban, he's going, and everybody that is quoting is all going like Rabbi Eliezer.
In Parshas Nayach?
Yeah.
Okay. In regards to how to calculate the year, we pass in like Rabbi Yeshua. In regard to Agadatas and other Kabbalistic type things, we go like Rabbi Eliezer.
Okay.
So like, in certain ways we say, oh, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, Hashem created the world in Rosh Hashanah. That's only the few Rabbi Eliezer. But we don't really pass in like Rabbi Eliezer, we pass in like Rabbi Yeshua. That Hashem created the world in Nisan Nivra Olam. In general, whenever there's Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, we always pass in like Rabbi Shua. Because Rabbi Shua is from Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Eliezer is from Beis Shammai.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
So we said that there's this window that's only used once
every... Rabbi Eliezer was from Beis Shammai?
We spoke about this,
at the very
Mamish, beginning. In the beginning of the... Of,
yeah, we're only here in...
We're only here in Perek 6, right? 2 years later, ago. Yeah. No, because we said that even though he learned by Rabbi Yehuda ben Zakkai, who was a Talmud of Beis Hillel, but he also learned by Beis Shammai either afterwards or something like that. Huh. Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihi. We don't pass him like him because he's Shamuti, which one of the explanations of Shamuti is that he's a Shammainik.
Okay.
Okay, so we said that there's this window that we only use once every, that Hashem only uses once every 28 years. The sun goes out through that. That's called Mizarim. And that's the pasuk in Eov that we quoted before. Min Acheder Tovay Sufa. From Cheder, Sufa comes out, meaning the strong wind. It comes out from this chalon called Cheder. Umi Mizorim Kara. And from Mizorim, the window of Mizorim, comes cold, Kara. Right? So you see that there's a window called Mizorim. Now, the Radal says that, the Radal brings that the Gemara in the Gemara in Bava Basra says something else. From Mizarim, Kara is referring to not this extra window that we're trying to account for, but rather Mizarim Kara is referring to the northern wind, because the northern wind brings cold, right? And that's what it means, Mizorim Kara. From Mizorim, which is, I say, the name of the northern wind, Kara comes cold. So how are we here? We're saying that the Mizorim is some sort of window in the middle of the sky. Kara, cold, is usually associated with something in the north more. Right? The Arctic zone or whatever is in the north. Where, like we said, that Mizorim is in the middle. The Radal leaves it basically as a Tzarchin. Okay. Ah, there's one piece I didn't mention. The when we said that when the sun comes down, when the sun goes down, so it bows in front of Hashem and says like, oh, I did everything you wanted, right? So the Maral in the Gemara in Bava Basra over there in Chaf Hamid Beis, the Maral says, what do you mean the sun bows down? The sun doesn't bow down. Where do you see the sun bowing down in front of Hashem? So he says that no, when the sun goes down, when it sets, it's sort of showing its subservience and say like, you know, until here I was ruling during the day, and now I don't rule. I'm not the complete ruler of everything. I go down. I show that I'm showing my subservience to Hashem. Just like when a person bows, it's like the mila of a person, let's say over an animal, is that a person stands straight up. You know, animals are on all four, right? So when a person takes his what we call koima, his height, and he bends his height, he's showing that he's bent, his will is being bent, and that he's subservient to something higher than himself. Right? So when we bow in front of Hashem, or we bow in front of someone we respect, we're trying to show that like we're not all that. We're subservient to somebody else as well. That's more or less what the Maral over there says. Okay, so till now, basically we were speaking about the sun coming up in the morning on the east side, and now we're going to talk about the sun going down on the west side. So now we're going to talk basically the converse. Balayla b'mayrev hachama b'tkufas tishrei v'teves. At night, in the west side, the sun in the tkufas tishrei and teves, meaning in the winter, in the autumn and in the winter, ha'lech v'sayvev the keren dremes u'lememeyu kyainus. It goes down to the, it sets in the closer to the southern side of the north-south axis of the west, and it goes down into the Keren Dremis, the southern corner, Ulameme Ukyainus, and into the Atlantic Ocean. Ben Ktsais Lashemayim Levin Ktsais Aretz Shekas, it sinks between the corner of the heaven and the corner of the earth, whatever that means, and whatever it means that it goes into the Atlantic Ocean. Sha'alayla gadol v'aderech gedayla. And because the night is long, and the path that the sun has to travel is very long, atcho magila chalenshu b'mizrach l'chalenshu reitzel latzisbay, until it goes to the window in the east, to the window that it's going to come out from the next morning. Right? Like, let's say you have, this is the sun, I mean, this is our point of view, right? So the sun will let's say this is east and this is west, right? So the sun comes down in the west, right? And it's going to go around somehow and then come back up in the east the next morning, right? So in the winter, it travels a longer distance, so that's why the night is longer. Balayla, and night, Bamayrev, in the west, Hachama, B'tkufas Nisan V'Tamuz, the sun, in the times of the spring and the summer, Hedech V'Sev, the Kevin Tzfoynis, L'Meme Yukyainis, Be'in Ktsas Hashem, L'Kvein Ktsas Oretz, it goes down in the northern part of that north-south axis of the west, and it goes down into the Atlantic Ocean, and it goes in between the corner of the Shemayim, the corner of the Aretz, whatever exactly that means again. And at that time, in the time between the spring and the summer, during the spring and the summer, the path that the sun has to go around back to the east, where it's going to rise from the next morning, is shorter, and that's why the nights are shorter in the summer. I'm surprised nobody's asking me, what do you mean? The sun doesn't move. We move. How come nobody asked me that?
Okay,
what? So how do we answer that? So the Marzu said basically that the Medrash is speaking from our point of view. From our point of view, it seems as if the sun is rising in the east and settling in the west, but really, in a from a scientific point of view, we're really the ones moving, not the sun. That's what the Marzu says. Now, that's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is that no, the Medrash understands that the Medrash has what we call a geocentric point of view. Geocentric point of view, meaning geo is the earth, centric is in the center, that the earth is in the center and everything moves around it, right? As opposed to what it's called a heliocentric point of view, where the helio, which is the Greek term for the sun, centric, the sun is in the middle, everything goes around that, which is the consensus of the scientific world, right? So you would say, no, maybe our Medrash holds a geocentric point of view and not a heliocentric point of view. So it could be that the Medrash does hold that, even though that's not the consensus of the scientific world. It could be that our Medrash doesn't agree with what the scientific world accepts, more or less accepts fact. But the truth is that even though people believe in heliocentrism, it's not as posh as it's made out to be. Albert Einstein, in his famous theory of relativity, and the other things that are derived from the theory of relativity, basically argues that you can't tell what's moving and what's staying stagnant unless you're outside of the whole system. So really, for all we know, it's true. The Earth is the one that's stagnant, that everything else is moving around us. It would have to mean that things are moving very fast, but it could be that they're the ones that are moving and we're the ones that are staying still. You'll never be able to know that unless you can look from as a third party from outside. But there's no way to look from outside. You would have to be outside of the created universe in order to see what's moving.
Oh, Galileo is rolling over in his grave. Einstein upslugged him, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Galileo discovered this 400, 500 years ago from just observations that it's a heliocentric.
Right.
But Einstein didn't accept his...
And until then, Copernicus's idea of geocentrism was what was dominant.
And Einstein didn't accept this.
Not that I don't know if he didn't accept it, but I think he said that it's not muchach. It's not... You can't scientifically prove it.
Then why? He's a Jew.
He's a Jew. So, because the Medrash holds geocentrism, yeah. So he wouldn't be able to have his schus to the Medrash. Yeah. So it's not so posh. There was a Yid in Muncie a few years back, named Bloch. I don't know his first name. His name was Bloch. And he put, you know him?
No, it's a common Jewish name, Bloch.
Okay, so he's like an ainikel of the Telzer Blochs. So he's
that one I heard of.
So he put out a whole sefer, a whole kuntres, trying to argue that Yiddishkeit holds of geocentrism and heliocentrism is apicursus or whatever. So he's sort of taking us back into the Renaissance. But, okay, I don't know.
Did anybody accept his views?
I don't know. He brings different proofs to different sources that seem to suggest that his idea is true or whatever. But, and again, if we're going to go with the idea of the Ramchal and the Maral, that we're not really talking about from a physical perspective, Bechlal, we're talking about from a Kabbalistic perspective. So we're just talking about a Kabbalistic perspective. It doesn't have to actually fit into what we think the reality is.
What's the Rambam's take on this?
I don't know. I don't know if the Rambam talks about it, Bechal.
In Hukas Kiddush HaKadosh, doesn't deal with this.
I'm not a bucky in the Rambam to know exactly what the Rambam says, but I would assume...
For me, it's one big maze.
I would assume the Rambam holds of heliocentrism, of geocentrism, just because that was the accepted fact in his time.
He bases himself on Greek philosophers a lot of
times. Right, I'm saying Copernicus...
The Rambam.
I know, also so does the Rambam.
Yeah, he holds a lot of the Greek philosophers, just that
he says Aristotle, we believe this and this and this, and we believe this.
But it tries to make itself based on how the Greeks, what they did according to the Torah, right? That fit it in, stim it, no?
The Rambam more so than the Ramban, but the Ramban also
does Ramban, it I didn't see the Rambam. Yeah, but where did the Rambam
speak? Of course, the Yevanim Omrim.
Yeah.
Many times, like it'll say it out.
Okay, let's go weiter. Now we're gonna take a pasuk in Sefer Koheles, and we're gonna expound on it exegetically and show how it's talking about what we're talking about over here in the parak. The pasuk says, "Hailech al doroim v'seve v'al tzafoin Seviv, Seviv, Halech, Haruach, the Alsvivisov Shav Haruach. Let's translate it. Halech El Daraim, the Seviv El Safain. It goes to the south and it turns around to the north. Seviv, Seviv, Halech, Haruach. Around and around the wind goes. The Alsvivisov Shav Haruach. And to its roundness, the Ruach returns. So what's that talking about over here? It says the matter. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Halech al daraim v'seviv al tzafayin. It goes to the south and it turns around to the north. Halech al daraim, it goes to the south. That's the reference b'tkufas tishrei u'b'tkufas teves. That's a reference to the sun rising in the autumn and in the winter, where it's progressively going closer towards the south and then coming from the south. So the sun rises in the southern quadrant of the southern southeastern quadrant of the sky. V'seviv al tzafayin, and it turns to the north, b'tkufas nisan v'tkufas tamuz. That's referring to the spring and the summer, where the sun is rising closer and closer to the north, and then is rising away from the north, but still staying in the northeastern quadrant of the sky. So that's the first two clauses in that pasuk. The Radal points out that the Gemara interprets this pasuk differently. The Gemara says, "Halech al daraim," that's during the day; "V'seviv al tzafayin," that's during the night. But our Medrash says it differently. Fine. Seviv, seviv, it goes around. It goes around. Shisha chadashim bekeren dremes, v'shisha chadashim bekeren tzfainis. Seviv, seviv, it goes around. Goes around. It's talking about 6 months on the. Southern, the southern half, and 6 months in the northern half. The same thing that we were talking about till now. V'al tzvivaysav shav haruach, v'chalayin sheba mizrach shav haruach. To the window that's in the east, the ruach comes. That's talking about at the night, when the sun goes down, then it comes back to a window in the east side the next morning from which it's going to rise. That's the Medrash's interpretation of that pasuk. There's an interesting point that the Radal makes over here. And this is sort of going to be our point of departure for an interesting discussion. It says, Halech el daraim v'seviv el tzafayin. It goes to the south and it turns... How would you say it in English? It encircles to the north. So why, by when we talk about this going to the south, it says goes. And when we talk about the north, it says it encircles. What's the difference? The way we said it, it's sort of even, it's equal. So like, what? Why are we using different terminology? So the Radal says, because Chazal tell us that kol pinah shat apoina edna el yamin. Like when you, there's a halacha in the Beis Hamikdash that when you want to make a turn, you're supposed to turn towards the right. And when you go to the, let's say you have to go to the corners of the Mizbeach, right, so you always turn towards you always make a right turn. You always have to make a right turn. So if you want to get, if the ramp to get up to the Mizbech is over here, right, and you want to get to this corner, what do? You make a right, another right, another right, another right, and then you get to this corner. You can't just simply make a left and get there. Right, you're always supposed to go towards the right. If there's a fork in the road, go to the right. Right? Right. What?
If there's a fork in the road, take it.
Take it.
Yogi Berra? I don't know.
Yogi Berra, yeah.
Yeah?
It's in Mind Clear.
You're joking, right? That was a Yogi Berra?
It was Yogi Berra, yeah. He was giving Joe Gary Giola directions to his house.
Did you explain all this point?
What?
This last point.
Well, one second. I'm going to explain it.
Yeah, in Mind Clear, New Jersey.
So because when you go to the right, that's the Iker way that you're supposed to be going. So we use the Lashon of Haylech El Doroim. Because facing eastwards, then north is on your left.
If you're facing east, so where you're standing, then I have to figure this out. I'm always thinking in my mind that the north is like...
Up. Right. When you face eastwards, so north is on your left.
I see, over here, yeah.
And south is on your right.
Well, that's why Yaakov called Binyamin, because he's Benyamin. Right?
Yeah, Be'eretz Yamin, which is the right, because he was south of Haran.
The Moshe like used that Asia is like the head, Africa is like the right arm, and Europe is like the left arm, then yeah.
If you wanna resort to that, but yeah, So basically, because the south is on the right, so we use the Lashon of Hailech, of going, because that's the Iker way of going. You're supposed to go to the right. So this is Hailech El Dorim. And when you go to the left, it's Soivev El Tzofin, because, you know, as I said, that when you want to go to the left side of the Mizbeach, right, the you don't go straight to the left. You turn. You make a bunch of right. You make four rights, and then you get to the left.
Right, that's counterclockwise.
Make one, two, three rights, whatever.
It's counterclockwise then.
Yeah.
Because, oh, is that? No, that is clockwise.
That's
no?
Clockwise.
Oh, it's clockwise. That's where the sun goes.
No.
Clockwise is right.
No, you're right. No, what?
No.
Clockwise is going right.
You make is a going like right?
This. Yeah. Yeah, it's going right all the time.
Right.
So the clockwise is going, it starts in the east, and then it goes to the south, and then it goes to the west, and then it goes to the north, and then it goes back to the east, right?
Clockwise is right, yeah.
So it's always going to the right. It's always going, not the other way.
So that's why it's called Soivev El Tzofin, because you're making a sivuv to get to the left. Because it's not the Iker way of going. It's an interesting vart that the Radal points out. But and I saw earlier tonight another Gishmak of vart that has to do with this pasuk. It's a shtickle drush, but it's a very interesting idea. This is from the Chofetz Chaim al Torah in Parshas Truma. The Chofetz Chaim al Torah in Parshas Truma explains this pasuk in a different way. Hailech al Doraim. This is appropriate because we just started out of Kislev. So we have the Hanukkah coming up in a few weeks, so we can speak a little bit about Hanukkah, right? We know that when you're in the Beit HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, right? So there were two kelim that were in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was the Shulchan and the Menorah, right? And the Shulchan and the Menorah were both across from each other. The Gemara says that the Shulchan was on the north side, on your left. Because if you're facing east, on your left was the Shulchan, and the Menorah was on your right side, on the south side, right, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? So the Gemara says, how do you remember which one's on which side? How do you remember if the Shulchan is on the right side or is on the north side or the left side? Or how do you remember if the Menorah is on the left side or the right side, or the north or the south? Right. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you a trick to remember that the Menorah is on the south side. Gemara says, "Hayroitza sheyachkim yadrim." A person who wants to become smart should go to the south. That's what the Gemara says.
But you find the Europeans are smarter than Africans.
The Gemara says the trick to remember is that if you want to be smart, you go to the south because the Menorah.
I always see the opposite, and even Israel itself, the northern people are smarter than the southern people. You should.
So what does it mean, north and south? So the Gemara says like this. The Menorah is the concept of the Menorah. Signifies.
I'm not arguing with you. Go ahead.
A second.
If you want to be smart, you go to the south where everyone is dumb.
the Menorah symbolizes.
In America, it's like that. The northerners are usually smarter than the southerners. And in India itself, the northern Indians have a little more seichel than the southern Indians. And in Europe, the northern Europeans are smarter than the southern Europeans. Every place in the world it's like that. North Africa is smarter than
South Africa. You know what I say? People that make stereotypes about other people, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but this is facts. Facts. Facts.
Okay.
North Americans are smarter than South Americans.
I don't know. You have to give them an IQ test.
But Cuba people are smarter than New Yorkers? I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't know if you can quant. How do you, first of all, how do you quantify intelligence? That's the first question. Then we can start discussing.
By the decisions that they make in life. Yeah. The Africans are running for. They didn't change since like the ancient days. They're running around, you know, naked, shooting arrows at each other. Whereas the Europeans built up cities and factories and you know what I'm saying. It's obvious who's smarter than who.
Okay, maybe the point is like this: the Menorah is on the south side, on the right side, because the Menorah. Okay, so it's
I'm just showing you for your knowledge.
Yeah, so the menorah is something that's meramis to chokhmah. Menorah, the seven branches of the menorah represent the seven branches of wisdom in the world. Whatever the menorah has to do with chokhmah, right? So it's like this: haretz sheyakim yajim. A person who wants to become smart, you go to the south, to the right side. Yes, that's what it means. Haylech al doraim. A person should be going towards the south. Haylech, the lashon of haylech. That's where you should be going to. This is what the Chofetz Chaim says. Soivev al tzofin. But lemaisa, soivev, you have to like sort of take a detour and go to the left. Go to the side of the physical of the physical parnasa, the shulchan, right, where the shulchan is in the north side. You have to take a detour and get yourself involved in those issues in order to survive in this world, right? But Lamaisa, once you start taking that detour, you get too involved in the detour, and then you keep detouring and detouring, and then your ruach, a person's spirit, his neshama, leaves, and that's when he dies. Right, so it ends up that instead of going towards the chokhmah on the right side, in the Dorim, or Menara, he ends up going to the left. To getting involved in the shulchan, getting involved in parnasa and all these other things, and he gets too busy with that. The alsvilosav shavaruach, and then because of the fact that you were saivev, you were too involved in the north sub shavaruach. The ruach, the neshama, is going to come back. The person is going to have to come back again in the gilgul in order to get his tikkun of what he was supposed to do in this world. That's the word of the Chafetz Chaim in a nutshell. Okay, let's try to press weiter and we can finish the parak. Hachaba, says the Medrash, the son, Shalish Eisah Shal Shem Ksuvim Beliboy. Three letters of the name of Hashem are written on the son, which the Radal says are Yud and Hey and Vav. Those are the first three letters of Hashem's name. They're written on the son, which the Radal says that it means that, like, just like we find there's a Medrash that says that a Malach, an angel, has written on its chest, there's like some sort of tablet written on its chest with the name of Hashem, sort of to teach us that the Malach doesn't do anything on its own, it's sort of subservient to Hashem, so, or that the Malach is its main sustenance, its energies come directly from Hashem, so too the sun is the same thing, it's not an independent force, it's something that's dependent on Hashem. The other girsa is Ali Boy, not Ksuvim Ali Boy, etc. And the angels, they lead the sun. How many angels lead the sun? So there's a Tesis in Chul and Daf Mem that brings the name of the Medrash that there's 12 angels that lead the sun. The Radal brings another Medrash, Kehelis, and the Yalkut Shemoin and Kehelis, it says that there's 8 angels that lead the sun, 4 from in front and 4 from behind. But the Radal says that maybe you can change the girsa over here, instead of reading it, Vahamalochim Manhigim Isai, read it as V'ches malachim manhigim esai, and 8 angels lead it, right? And there's a medrash that says that there's 8 angels, so he wants to make this medrash work with that medrash and say that there's 8 angels that lead the sun. Elish manhigim esai b'yayim, en manhigim esai b'layla. Those angels that lead the sun during the day are not the same angels that lead the sun at night. Elish manhigim esai b'layla, en manhigim esai b'yayim. And those angels that lead it at night are not the same angels that lead it during the day. It's different angels. Hachama Rechev Amarkava. The sun rides in a chariot. This is a popular popular way of depicting the sun, not only in our sources, but in all ancient cultures. When they draw the sun is drawn like a god in a chariot. You find it in Egyptian cultures. The Egyptians have this, like, I think it's called funerary texts, where they have a whole story about the sun riding in a chariot the whole night, and then it comes back out in the morning. This idea of the sun riding in a chariot is something that was accepted even by the Avdei Avodah Zarah. Now, the thing is that they worship the sun. We don't worship the sun. We're just saying exactly how the sun works, or some sort of symbolism of how the sun, how Hashem works through the sun, but not that you worship the sun. The Radal brings a pasuk in Sefer Melachim, which discusses Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Josiah, destroying Avodah Zarah in his time, and one of the things it says that he destroyed was the chariots of the sun. Which the Mefarshim, not just the Radal over here, but also there's a Sefer from Rav Menashe ben Israel called The Conciliator. It was originally written in Latin and then translated into English, so that's why the name of the Sefer is Conciliator. So he also writes this, that the ancient idolaters, even the worshippers of the Baal, which the Baal has to do with the sun, they would depict the sun as riding in a chariot. So when Yeshio HaMelech destroyed the Avodah Zarah, he destroyed those images of the sun riding in a chariot. V'ayla mi'otar kechosan, and the sun would come out crowned like a chosan. V'yosis kigibor, and happy like a warrior. Shemar, it says the pasuk, v'ayla kechosan yetzim michupasai. He is like a chosan going out from his chuppah, Yosef Kigibar Larutz Ayach, like a happy, like a warrior to run through the path. And Chazal tell us in Perek Shira that this Perek of Tehillim that we quoted this pasuk from, Tehillim Perek Yutes, is actually the Perek of Tehillim that the sun says. What does the Shemesh say? Hashemayim misabrim kevayid kel. That's the pasuk of the sun in Perek Shira. And then we see a few pasukim later that the sun is like a chasan. Because it has like this, it has this crown. The Radal has an interesting side thing over here. We say later on in Perek Tazayin that a chasan is like a king. So he asks, how come we don't say that just like a chasan has a crown, so just like a king has a crown, a chasan also has a crown? So Radal says, because there's a Gemara in Masechet Gittin that says that after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, they made a gzera that a chasan is not allowed to wear a special crown. What about a kala? A kala wears a tiara sometimes. It's already in a shtugel. Says Medrash Hachama Karnaisa Vufanav Hamabitas Labatav Oretz Shel Eish. The sun, its rays and its face, when they look towards the bottom of the earth, are made of fire. V'karnaisa Vufanav Hamabitas Lamala Shel Barad. And the sun and its face, the rays and its face, when it looks up, are of Barad, of ice, of snow, of hail. So this is sort of saying that like the southern half of the world gets the northern half of the world gets snow and the southern half of the world gets fire from the sun. If it wasn't for the fact that there was also some sort of cold koyach coming from the sun, so that it would extinguishes the koyach of the fire that's coming from the sun. If it wasn't for that coldness, the world would be burnt up in the fire of the sun. As the Pasuk says, "Ein nistar mechamasai." Nobody can be hidden from his anger. And chama is always, anger is always an allusion to like fire. Like a person's anger, a cast is something that's like a fire. And in the winter, the sun switches up, it goes upside down, and the upper part becomes the lower part, and the lower part becomes the upper part. And if it wasn't for the fact that the fire would heat up the cold part of the sun, no one would be able to last because of the extreme coldness coming out of the sun. Right, so that's why you need the heat of the sun to counterbalance the coldness. Shenemar lifnei karosay miyamid. The pasuk also says about the sun that who can stand in front of the coldness of the sun. Ve'elohen ktzayis drachov shelcham. And these are some of the ways of the sun. Okay, the Marzu over here says what should be obvious to all of us, that we're not talking about a physical reality because we don't know anything of some cold power coming out of the sun. We only know about the heat coming out of the sun. But what it means is that there's a heat and then there's also a lack of heat. That's what it means. Where the sun faces, there's heat, and where the sun doesn't face, there isn't heat. And the Medrash ends off with a line that says that these are some of the things that have to do with the sun. And now we have finished Perek Vav. Be'ez Hashem, Perek Zayin, which will hopefully start next week, is going to be all about the moon. And a lot of the things we're going to see in the next Perek sort of mirror what we said in this Perek about the sun. We're going to talk about it about the moon. Next Perek is a little bit harder, but we should hopefully be able to do it in 2 weeks. And thank you for coming.
Harder than this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.